Friends, while they are moving, would you move into the text of Ecclesiastes? We're going to begin at the end, so Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We'll begin in verse 9 here. Not only was the teacher wise, but also he imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. The words of the wise are like goads, their collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. So be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them, of making many books there is no end, and much study wearies the body. Now then, all has been heard, and here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you that you've given us your word. You've made yourself known, and not only have you given us your word, but you have given us your spirit, the very same spirit of Jesus, and that you, Holy Spirit, are at work in our lives, making Jesus real in us, so that we can indeed be Christ-like, or like Christ. What a wonderful gift. And so as we come today, as we enter into this word, that you enliven it to our hearts and embed it there so that it overflows into the way in which we live. Ah, may it be so. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Allow me to do a little bit of review before we move into this text in particular. Last week, I shared with you that Ecclesiastes is a book of movement, right? That chapter 1, verse 6 talks about the wind blowing to the north and then turning to the south and then turning back again. And it's how the book of Ecclesiastes reads. You're just blowing here and you're blowing there. It seems as though you're always in movement. And if you listen to us as we talk about our week, oftentimes that's actually the way we talk about the way life works. I was blown here and I was blown there. Man, I just passed myself coming and going. Ecclesiastes speaks to those who have limited time. And this is why there are hundreds, maybe even thousands of time management books that have been written, because we have limited time. And so Ecclesiastes comes to us and it says, while you are in movement, learn how to live there well. As the wind blows, know how to live as a vapor well. And so last week we shared that this book, not only is it a book of movement, but that the word that is translated in the NIV, meaningless, and in the King James Version, vanity, may not be the best translation. And most of your Bibles, if you read down in your notes, that it has alternative translations. I like the translation of vapor. And you heard me say it many times last week, that if our life is a vapor, it's here today, gone tomorrow. It's not that it lacks value, or that it's pointless, or that it's vain. It's that it's passing away. It's here, and it's gone. It has value, and not only does it have value, but in the time and the place that you are, that God can make it beautiful. Because God makes all things beautiful in their right time. So as the wind blows, and it blows us here or there, That this book that keeps us moving, that wherever God moves us, is that God intends to demonstrate value there as well as to make it beautiful. This book helps us to recognize that, right? So that we don't get caught up trying to grasp at something that we cannot grab, right? If you are a coffee drinker or a hot tea drinker or something hot, there is a vapor called steam that rises up from a hot cup of coffee. And if our life is a vapor, like that steam that's coming up from the coffee, I cannot grab it. I can't say, man, I want to hang on to this. You can't. And so in the same way, our life is a vapor. We can't grab onto it. So when life's going really well, we can't say, man, I like this part of my life. Let's grab onto this. I'll hang on to it as long as I can. It's here today, gone tomorrow. It's passing away. That doesn't mean it's not valuable, and that doesn't mean that it's not beautiful in its time. That simply means it will not last. Friends, and if you're going through a time that really stinks, it's not as though you can't, like, just whiff it away, right? But it will not last forever. I was thinking about that this week, you know, when life is really sweet and we want to hang on to it, you know, this fragrance just when life is going well, it's like a beautiful fragrance. And I chuckled to myself this week because really the only parallel to a stink is a fart. But I didn't think that was quite appropriate from the front. But I'm over that, you know. So, but yeah, that's life too. But it will not last. So if Ecclesiastes is a book of movement, it's also, here's where we're at this week, it is also a book of placement. We're moving, but it also places us, and it seeks to firmly place us under the sun. And so the phrase under the sun, from my count, the phrase under the sun is used 30 times in the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, this is significant, because if you hear anything in the book as you're moving about, is that you are moving about under the sun. We can't rise above the sun. It's a way of communicating that we are within the limits of the governance of time. If you go back to the creation narrative, it says that these things, these celestial beings that were put in space, were for the governance of time. Days, seasons, years, right? And we can't get outside of those. We are confined by the limits of time, the governance of time. Now, we try all sorts of ways to extend the governance of time. And yet, at even our best efforts, we have not been able to even add 1 hour to every day. Oh, wouldn't that be great? If you just had an extra hour, think of all the things that you could do. Or maybe it's not for you all the things that you could do. Maybe it's all the things you could not do. Man, if I had an extra hour, I would nap. Oh, wouldn't that be glorious? Man, if I had an extra hour, I would do dot, dot, dot. But we haven't been able to add that. Some of us, we try to shorten things, and nor can we do that. So this phrase, under the sun, firmly places us in the governance of time. So whatever time that you have, know that it's here today and gone tomorrow. But you're firmly placed within that governance of time. And this is then the word humility. This is cool, derives from the Latin word humus, which means soil. So not only are we placed under the sun, right? We're placed within the framework of time, the governance of time, but we're also firmly planted on the earth, right? We can't get away from that. And so Ecclesiastes, interestingly enough, this is, if you've been to a funeral recently or a committal service, from dust you became and to dust you will return. It's found in Ecclesiastes. We are intricately linked to the earth. We're under the sun, a governance of time, and we are firmly planted in the earth. So while you're here, we got to ask the question, what does God want to accomplish? What does God want to accomplish with the vapor that is my life that he can make both valuable where he blows us as well as beautiful in the time that he blows us there? And that is found in placement. Now, we need to take a time out because when we talk about placement, one of the things that I came up against this week as I was reflecting on this is when we think about placement, is that can have some real negative connotations. For instance, we live as man and we've seen a lot of abuse when it comes to placement. You've probably heard the phrase, know your place. And as humans, we have done a great deal of harm to one another by trying to place each other. And so we have to ask the question, where has society tried to place you? Where have you tried to place someone else? Or maybe even, where have you tried to place yourself? And sometimes, and Ecclesiastes would tell us this, is even our placement of ourselves or our placement of others, it will not last. It's a vapor too. And so when Ecclesiastes speaks to us, it firmly places us in the governance of time. It reminds us that we are not below the dirt, but neither are we above the dirt. And so there's a dignity there that God firmly placed us on this earth. And while we are here, for whatever time that is, for whatever vapor, however long that vapor lasts, God is making it valuable and beautiful in its time. And so we need to understand that we don't place ourselves. Other people don't place us, nor do we place others. God places us. And so if we back away from this for just a second and we say, but Ryan, there is so much abuse that happens in our world. I can't deny that. That's true. Man, humanity has an unbelievable ability to express grace and dignity and generosity, but it's also done some pretty terrible evils. But no, in every time, it's risen and it's passed away. Whether it was for good or for evil, its time was limited. So we come back into the text and we say, okay, if I'm a vapor that God has made valuable and beautiful in its time, where has he placed me and what is he doing there that he is demonstrating his value and his beauty in the time in which I have? And this brings us to where our text is, right? Our text says the last word or the end of the matter, Ecclesiastes 12:13, is to fear God and to obey God. Fear God and obey God. So wherever he places you, he intends us to fear him, and he also intends for us to obey him. And in that placement where we are fearing him and obeying him, God is both demonstrating his value and making that which, where we are, beautiful in its time. You'll see references there, and I provide those for you because fearing God shows up throughout the book. And so it's not just at the end of the book, and we go, oh, I'm supposed to fear God. Oh, that's great. How do I do that? But you can go back and look at these references about what it looks like to fear God in the various activities of our life. And so we fear God in our work. We fear God in the way in which we experience the delight of this life. We fear God in our relationships. We fear God. And in fearing God, this is putting God in his rightful place and allowing us to be in our rightful place where he puts us, right? And so to fear God is to understand and embrace the fact that I don't place myself. God places me. And if we can grasp that, we are well on our way, friends. I don't place myself. God places me. I fear him. I trust him that where he places me, he can demonstrate both value and beauty there. I fear God. God knows what's best. I heard our president several years ago now, not president of the United States, president of the Missionary Church, Steve Jones. He spoke at Bethel. This has been 6 years ago now, and he was speaking on Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the way that he interpreted the fear of the Lord was God gets to decide. That's a pretty good working definition. God gets to decide. And so when we hear fear God, God gets to decide where he places us. God gets to decide where he places us. Can we live there? Ecclesiastes encourages us to say, God knows what's best. Allow him to place you where he wants you. God gets to decide. But what if we approach the circumstances of our life in such a manner? God, here's the circumstances that I'm experiencing. God, everything appears to go in this direction. And God, I don't like that direction. But God, you get to decide. God, this is the way things appear, but you get to decide. What if we just stopped and acknowledged that wherever God places us, he gets to decide that. And his decisions are always just. They're always right, and they're always true. As I was reminding us as we went through Proverbs, is that the God that we serve demonstrates the goodness and the beauty and the truth of himself. That's what he does. And so we want to see that. We fear God. God gets to decide. And so you can go back and you can read those texts, and I would encourage you to do so, and allow even the text to see how this the author is being blown back and forth, and all of this movement of the text. He says, wherever God places me, I trust him there. Not only are we to fear God, this is the end of the matter, but we are to obey God. And you see references there. By the way, there's 5 references to fear. There's 7 references to enjoyment. And so I put here, obey God. And in that place, I want to connect for you that enjoyment and obedience go hand in hand. They're not apart, right? And so it's not as though these are just for enjoyment. It's that when we obey God, we experience the satisfaction and the enjoyment of the place that he has put us. God gets to decide. And where he decides to place us, as we obey him there, we experience the satisfaction and the joy of him putting us there. This is not easy, friends, because it puts us in a position that says, God, I am totally abandoned to you. Right? So I don't approach life as to say, well, this is what I want, and therefore I'm going to set my goals and my agenda, and I'm going to pursue that with everything I've got. There's a place for that, but there's also this sense in which Ecclesiastes says, the end of the matter, When all is said and done, if we will abandon ourselves to the God who places us, and where he places us, he intends for us to enjoy what he does there. That's the end of the matter. Because if we spend our lives pursuing all of our wants and desires, we get to the end and we might say, I didn't get to enjoy them in the way that I thought I would. I thought this would be different. I thought this would mean more. I thought when I got to this place, then I would be happy. And so we pursue a place, and it's maybe not a place that God blows you. And so you get to that place and you go, it's not everything I thought it was going to be. The author of Ecclesiastes says, time out. When you get to the end, the things that matter is that you've abandoned yourself to the place that God puts you and that you enjoy what he has for you there, what he is making valuable and beautiful in that time. You see, what we end up doing is we try to live for that time, but that time is not this time. So we live in the place that God puts us. And when we live there, we can enjoy what he is doing in that place. Because that place will not be forever, right? It's here today and gone tomorrow. It's under the sun, firmly planted on the earth. Can't get above that. We can't get around that. So where God places us, because God gets to decide, and where he decides, he will provide for us the possibility for enjoyment, satisfaction. Then we get to the last words here of Ecclesiastes 12. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. God is the judge. God is the judge. We're not the judge. He is the judge. And because he is the judge, that's his place. It's not our place. But not only is God the judge of both good and evil, and he will evaluate them, even the hidden things, but that his judgment keeps us within the confines of our place. Right? Because he's the judge, I don't know if you noticed this, but earlier in the text it says, these words of the wise are like goads. Their collected sayings are like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. God as judge will help keep us in our place. Because when we read Ecclesiastes and it's blowing us, it's moving us, but it's also placing us, that when we get out of our place, that these words that come to us are like goads, they put us back in our place. And this is a glorious thing, right? This is a wonderful thing, is that God has made the provision for when we get out of place, is that we can read these words and say the end of the matter is that God gets to decide. And where he decides is a place where we can experience enjoyment. When we get outside of that and we pursue things that are outside of the place that God has provided, and in that place we're not experiencing any enjoyment, we read Ecclesiastes, and Ecclesiastes prods us back into place. And so Ecclesiastes encourages us not to be stubborn, not to pursue things that are outside of our place. And so we read this book that moves us and places us so that when we're outside of that place and we feel the poking and the prodding, we go, oh, There's a reason why I can't stand where I'm at. It's because it's not the place God wanted me. God, this is where you wanted me. And so we stay there. Isn't that wonderful? Not only does he say that he will, but when we get out of that place, that he prods us back into it. This is the glory of the Christian life. It's that God doesn't just allow us to wander off and go, well, God hasn't been doing it the way that I think he ought to, so I'm just going to go over here and do this, or I'm going to go over here and do that. But he prods us to say, that is not a place that you will enjoy. Come back into this place of enjoyment. A place in which I have decided is best for you. Because you, in this place that I have given to you, not only am I making it valuable and beautiful in the time that you have, but listen to this, friends. And this is the key verse of the entire text. Okay? Don't miss this. Ecclesiastes 3:14 says that everything that God does lasts forever. Everything that God does lasts forever. Friends, if we spend our lives chasing after a placement that God has not put us, is when our days come to an end, so will that which we pursued. It will come to an end. But if we align our lives in the place that God has for us, and he, in our time, works out the value and the beauty that he intends that will bring us the enjoyment that we want, is that the thing that even when our life ends, if we lived it in the place that God put us, the things that he does last forever. And the text tells us that we can't even fathom that. That when we align ourselves with the placement that he has for us, that from our birth date to our death date, that those days happened and will happen. But the things that God does, and friends, Ecclesiastes says that God is working in your life. He's working in the dash of your tombstone. He's working in that. And the things that he does through you, they'll last forever. But if you live outside of his placement, he'll try to prod you back into it. But if you choose to live outside of his placement, when your life ends, so will your meaning. So will the things that you pursued. So will all the things. If you live outside of that placement, they will come to an end. And we'll know it. Because we'll look back even at our lives before that death day and we'll say, I thought it would be different. I thought I would enjoy this in a way that I'm not. Friends, allow Ecclesiastes to minister to your heart today. To say, God, I'm trusting that where you place me will bring enjoyment and satisfaction, and that you will align your placement of my life with your eternal purposes, because what you do lasts forever. And so I want you to do what you do in my life. That's what I want you to do. God, friends, we've got to place ourselves there. So this might mean a couple of things, and then I'll finish. It might mean that you hear this message and it pokes you. And this may mean that you need to spend some time saying, God, I'm feeling poked, which might mean I'm not in the place you want me. God, put me in the place you want me, and I will receive it from yourself. Poke me, prod me, push me, pull me, move me to that place. And I'll trust that where you move me is the place that you have decided. And I'll find enjoyment there. If you're feeling poked and prodded today, know that Ecclesiastes intends to do that. Friends, it may mean that you walk out of here today rejoicing. You have found satisfaction. And you say, God, I had no idea that in all of this life that's here today and gone tomorrow, is that in every season, you've made it both valuable and beautiful. I had no idea that you could do that with such rubbish of my life. But I couldn't be more delighted. You might be there. And if that's the case, you ought to go out whooping and hollering and high-fiving and say, man, you guys got to have what I have, because you can look back at a life and say, I've experienced all the riches of God's grace that have led me through this life. And it might put you in a place that says, you know, I am in a place where God has me. He's placed me there. He's moved me there. But I just need to trust that he'll bring the enjoyment and satisfaction that I'm not yet experiencing. And that might mean that you're begrudging the place that he has for you, which means you're not trusting in the place that he has. And so you say, I don't like this place. I don't want this place. No, friends, if it's a book that's moving, you won't be there forever, because God will move you where he wants you, and where he moves you, he places you there that he can both demonstrate his goodness in our life as well as allow us to be participants in the things that he does, which lasts forever. I don't know where you're at today, but I know where I want to be. I want to be where God wants me. So let me pray that for you. Jesus, I know that I walk out, we spent 2 weeks in Ecclesiastes. We could spend a lot longer, but we got 2 weeks. And this has been wonderful that you're moving and you're placing. And God, we want to be people who allow you to move us and allow you to place us, because you get to decide that. That's your place. That's not our place. That's your place. And so, God, I just want to confess that I want you to place me where you have. I want you to place me where you decide, and that you will help me to find enjoyment there, because it's an enjoyment that you provide. It's an enjoyment that you offer at the place that you put us. And I pray for us that if there's anyone here that's being poked and prodded, that they would say, God, you can place me wherever you want me. I'll trust you there, and I'll learn to live with the joy of the Lord that brings satisfaction to my soul in the place that you put me. And maybe that those have arrived at a different place, that they would trust that you've put them there. Lord, help us to trust you. That's really it. That's it. To fear you and to obey you. To trust you've put us in places, and that in those places you put us, we can enjoy what you have for us. And then there's this, that what you do lasts forever. Yes. May it be so in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you please stand?
me pray with you, friends. Father, I thank you for this people, your people. Not only just this people in this place at this time, or those that are watching this place in this time, but for the Big C Church, the body of Christ all over the world, that we would submit ourselves to your life in us, but not only your life in us, but your life in us for the time in which you give us life. We are confined by the limits of time. Not only are we confined by the limits of time, but you firmly place us on this earth for a time that is here today and gone tomorrow. So, Lord Jesus, as we go today, I pray that we would firmly place ourselves where you put us, where you place us. And as you move us and place us in various places, that we would trust you there. And that we would enjoy what you are doing, that you're making our lives valuable and beautiful in their time, but that in our time, that it's submitted to your eternal purposes for the things that you do last forever. Oh, this is a great gift that you've given to us. Life is a great gift that you've given to us. Help us to live it for you and for your glory. I pray that as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, let me share this blessing. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. To stand against the schemes of the evil one. Friends, abide in our Savior. And rest assured that he abides in you. Amen.